In Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, and last time, if you recall, we were talking about the difference between having Kedushas Yisrael, which just means you're a Jew, and being part of the Ummah HaYisraelis, being part of the Jewish nation. And we said there are certain things that can take a person outside of the Ummah HaYisraelis, even though he still has Kedushas Yisrael. For example, anyone remember any of the examples? Good, marrying a non-Jew, right? That would be an example. Something that takes you out of the Ummah Yisraelis, being over Avod Zarah, right? A Mumar, Avod Zarah. It takes him out of the Ummah Yisraelis, even though a person certainly has Kedushas Yisrael. So along those lines, Rosh Hashanah points out that Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Kof Hei raises a suffix whether we accept Machzis HaShekel from a Mumar Avod Zarah and from a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. Is he eligible to give Machzis HaShekel? Because we darshin Michem Velo Kulchem that a Mumar is not allowed to offer a Korban. So if a Mumar, that's a Gemara Chulin Daf Hei, so if a Mumar is not allowed to offer a karban, what does the Machzis HaShekel go to pay for? Karbanos. So maybe he should not be allowed to give Machzis HaShekel. This is the Minchas Chinuch's suffix, that maybe a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah shouldn't be allowed to give Machzis HaShekel. So Shachter points out, it's a very strange comment of the Minchas Chinuch to make, because the Gemara in Maseches Shkalim tells us that the Kohanim try to exempt themselves from Machzis HaShekel. How do they try to exempt themselves from Machzis HaShekel? Because it says, Kol Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyah Lo Teachel, that any, the Pasuk says, any mincha that a Kohen brings cannot get eaten at all. So the Kohanim said, ooh, if we contribute to Machzis HaShekel, that means all of the Korbanos that are brought with the Machzis HaShekel will not be allowed to be eaten. And that's not the halacha. The halacha is you're supposed to bring certain Korbanos to the Machzis HaShekel that do get eaten. So we shouldn't contribute to Machzis HaShekel. That was the drasha they made La'atzman, to try to get themselves out of the chiyuv. But the Gemara says that was an erroneous drasha. They are wrong. Why are they wrong about that? So the Gemara says, because karbanos tzibur are not the same as karbanos of shutfim, meaning when you give the Machzis HaShekel and they use that Machzis HaShekel money to buy a karban, it's not that we're all partners together in this karban, that I'm an owner of the karban and you're an owner of the karban and you're an owner of the karban. No, none of us have ownership of the karban. Knesset Yisrael has ownership of a korban. A korban tzibur, tzibur is a separate entity, from, it's not just a group of individuals. It's a separate entity called the tzibur. Mashal ma'adavar doma, you have in American law, there's something called a corporation, right? So what, is a corporation just a shutfus between the shareholders? No, the shareholders have their private accounts, and if the corporation goes bankrupt, they are protected. I think, I don't know anything about law, but let's assume this is true. Right, they are protected, whereas a corporation is a separate entity. Accounting people. Yeah, it's a separate entity that is defined differently. So that's a very good mashal of what the tzibur is. That a korban tzibur is not that the kohanim are participants, that the kohanim are shutfim. They're not, and that's why they're chayiv to give Machzis HaShekel. So Shechter points out, if that's the case, then the same should be true with the notion that zevach rishayim toeva. It's true, rishayim cannot bring a korban. So mumar lav. We should not accept a carbon from. But that shouldn't exempt him from Machzis HaShekel. Why not? Because when he gives Machzis HaShekel, he's just part of the tzibur. So the carbon is not his carbon, it's the tzibur's carbon. So why in the world does the Minchas Chinuch think that there's a possibility that a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah doesn't pay Machzis HaShekel? Furthermore, Rav Itzlo Mipanovich in the Sefer Zecher Yitzchak has a problem with a comment of the Ragachover. The Ragachover in Safnas Panech tries to be Mechadesh, that even though we know the halacha is that we rely on that, we are allowed to be mitzarif poshim. You're allowed to be mitzarif for shoyim, bad people, to a minyan, for shachris, for mincha and mariv. We count people who are not religious to a minyan for shachris, mincha, mariv, but you shouldn't do it for musaf. Why? What's the difference? So says the Ragachover, Shachris Mincha Marav Rachamim. You have Bakashos, you're asking for Rachamim. Everyone needs Rachamim. Everyone is included in being able to ask for Rachamim. Musaf is purely what? What is Musaf? It's a carbon. It's purely a replacement of a carbon. Zevach Rishayim Toeva. You can't take a carbon from a Rasha. So if Musaf is purely in the Shalom Parnas Vaseinu, it's our way of bringing a carbon, so it shouldn't be allowed. So asks Rav Itzla on the Ragachover, no, Zevach Rishayim Toeva is only by a carbon Yachid. Musaf is a carbon Tzibur. So why should the Rasha be excluded? But both of these problems can be answered based on the yisod that we've been working with. What's the yisod we've been working with? That a person can work himself outside of the tzibur of Ummah HaYisraelis. That a person, through doing one of these four terrible things that we discussed last time, can put himself in a position where he's not part of the tzibur. So forget about his own individual status as a rasha, that his carbon is going to be a toeva. He could be a person, because he's a mum l'avodah zarah, who's not even part of the tzibur, and therefore he can't participate in karbanos tzibur. And that's why Minchas Chinuch says maybe he cannot give machzah shekel. And that's why Rav Itzala says, the Ragged Shavan rather says, that he can't participate in karbanos tzibur, because he's outside of the tzibur. Now that idea, Rav Shachter pivots a little bit over here in Os Zion. He points out that idea that a mumar is excluded from bringing a karban. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei says we see from there that a mumar is dino ka'akum. That a mumar l'avodah zarah, a Jew who violates avodah zarah on a regular basis, has a din of a goy. That he, in certain respects, he has a din of a goy. So the Achronim are very bothered by that limud, because what's the halacha? A goy wants to bring a karban. Do we accept a karban from a goy? Yes, we do accept karbanos from a guy. So what are we saying? A mumar is not allowed to bring a karban, and therefore you see that a mumar is like a guy. But a guy is allowed to bring a karban. So how can you make that connection? A mumar is worse than a guy, it would seem, right? If he's not allowed to bring a karban. How do you learn from there that mumar is dino ka'akum? So Rav Shechter points out that a number of the Gedolei HaAchronim are Mechadish, that this din, that a shechita of a mumar is an avela, and that he has a din of a goy, l'kol ha'tarukula, must only be a din d'rabanan. That must not be a din d'oraisa. It has to be a din d'rabanan. But, he says, there is a whenever you have a din d'rabanan, you always have to pause and ask yourself the following question. This is a klal. You know, we're very into klalim. A klal. Whenever you have a din d'rabanan, you always have to ask yourself that the rabbanan are not allowed to make their own dinim out of thin air in a way that doesn't have any connection to a d'oraisa. Called the tikkun rabbanan, ke'en d'oraisa tikkunim. Whenever they make their dinim, it's always patterned after some principle on a d'oraisa level. Right? So if they're going to say that a mumar has a din of a goy, only on a d'rabanan level, where's the d'oraisa that they're patterning that after? What's the d'oraisa that tells you that a mumar is a din of a goy? So, says Rav Shechter, according to what we've been saying, we have a very good d'oraisa that a mumar has a din of a goy, because we've been establishing the point all the time that while a mumar still has kedushas Yisrael, he's worked his way out of the Ummah Yisraelis, and that is true on a d'oraisa level. That's true as far as Kaparas Yom HaKippurim we discussed last time, I'm not going to get back into it right now. It's true as far as Avram Avinu saving the guy from Gehenim, right? If the guy is an Arel, he doesn't have a bris mila, Avram Avinu is going to leave him in Gehenim, he's not going to try to save him from Gehenim. All of these things are d'oraisa level issues. So if on a d'oraisa level a mumar has worked himself out of the Ummah Yisraelis, not such a stretch to say that on a drabbanan level, he can even remove himself from Kedushas Yisrael. That on a drabbanan level, we'll take it the next step. So that's the Ke'en Da'oraisa. He says it could be that the din of Arvus doesn't apply to a mumar for this very reason. What's Arvus? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. That Arvus applies for anyone who's part of Klal Yisrael. So it's totally in us being an Ummah, in us being the Ummah Yisraelis. But if someone has worked his way out of the Ummah Yisraelis, maybe there's no din of Arvus. So then Rav Shechter just spends the rest of the piece going through six other applications of the, or seven other applications at least, of called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ken D'oraisa Tikkunim. So let's try to run through some of the examples that he has. I mean, he tries to find obscure din of the Rabbanan that don't seem to have any connection to D'oraisa, and he shows us what the D'oraisa connection is. So for example, he says, there is a din by din of the Rabbanan that ain't based in Yachal Levatel, different based in Chaver Oilem, Ken Gadol Emenu B'chachma B'minyim. That a based in a later based in can't undo dinim of an earlier based unless they're greater B'chachma B'minyim. By dinim D'oraisa, it doesn't seem that we say that way. By Dinim D'oraisa, we say, Ilcha Ela Shofet Shebiyamecha, that you follow whatever the current psak is amongst the leaders of your generation. So where's the Ke'en D'oraisa? So Shechter points out that Rav Elchanan in Kuntres Divrei Sofrim makes this somewhat clear, because he points out that a din d'oraisa, there are certain din d'oraisa that are what we call lo masrana kasav ela l'chacham. That are you familiar with this concept? They're doing malach on chol hamoed, d'rabbanan or d'oraisa. So it's sort of a combination. The Torah we pass is machlokes rishon, but we paskin that malach on chol hamoed is d'oraisa, but exactly what's going to be asr to do and what's mutter to do is up to the rabbanan to decide. The principle, the concept, is d'oraisa, but the rabbanan have the right to decide what fits into that isr d'oraisa. Very unique idea. So maybe the bezdin, a later bezdin, does not have the ability to be mevatel what the earlier bezdin was koveya as far as that category. Meaning, if an earlier bezdin decides this is asr and chol hamoed, this fits into melechas chol hamoed, the isr melechas chol hamoed, it could be that a later bezdin doesn't have the ability to undo that. That's on a d'oraisa level. And maybe that's the ke'ein d'oraisa of all dinim d'rabbanan, that whenever you have a din d'rabbanan, the bezdin, a later bezdin, is not a din vatel unless they're gadol b'chacham of minyan. So even that, even the rules are ke'ein d'oraisa. A second example, there are a number of dinim d'rabbanan that you're only allowed to do until chatzos halayla, that your time limit is chatzos. According to the Chachamim, like Karban Pesach, you can eat all night, right? So there is no din of chatzos midaraisa. So where did the Chachamim come up with this idea of chatzos? How are they allowed to just invent an idea that chatzos is a time limit, is the end of the time that you're allowed to do certain mitzvos? So Rav Shachter points out that there has to be dinim daraisa that are taloi in chatzos. So he points to a Gemara in Yuman of Chafam Beis that talks about equal, that something is considered to be consumed on the Mizbeach if it's been burning on the Mizbeach at night, dafkat chatzos. So you have this obscure din daraisa, but there's got to be, you always have to find it, din daraisa. Something's patterned after. A third example, Gemara Pesachim Kofal Chafam Beis tells us, this is a well-known halacha, shinui makom in Hilchos Brachos. What does that mean? Shinui makom in Hilchos Brachos. Yeah, so you said a bracha in one place and you started eating, but now you want to go to a different place, you got to say a new bracha. Now, brachas on food, drabana or d'oraisa? Drabana, right? Where's the din d'oraisa that shimei makom is patterned after? So Shachter suggested, now that's also only drabana, because even though the mitzvah of kiddush is d'oraisa, kiddush makom suda is only drabana. So where's the din d'oraisa that's patterned after? So he says, it's a sugim psachim peivavam lav. Peivavam lav. That's that whole section of psachim, right? That's what they skip in yeshivas, right? Because that's all about karbanos, and those, that's hard, right? So peivavam lav. Yeah. What does the Gemara talk about over there? That a korban pesach can be nechal b'shtei chaburos. You're allowed to divide up into two separate groups and eat a korban pesach, but you're not allowed to eat your korban pesach in two separate locations. You're only allowed, you have to stay in one location according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how we pass on the halacha. Meaning, your Karban Pesach, you have to have a single achila for your Karban Pesach. Wait, how much is an achila? How much do you eat that qualifies as an achila? A kazayis. Are you not allowed to eat more than a kazayis for Karban Pesach? No, sure you are, as long as you're in the same place. Once you switch to a different place, it's called a new achila. It's a separate achila. Oh, come the Rabbanan and they say, oh, I see a din d'oraisa. A din d'oraisa. That it's called a new achilas karban pesach when you switch places from this place to that place. Right? That's a new achilas karban. So maybe in Hilchos Brachos also, it's called a new achila when you switch places and therefore you require a new bracha. Wild. Fourth possible ke'en d'oraisa. In the end of Maseches Megillah, you're not allowed to touch a Sefer Torah barehanded. Right, whenever you kiss the place where you are in the Sefer Torah before you get the Aliyah, what do? You take the gartel, your tzitzis, something, right? You don't just touch the Torah with your hands, right? Why not? Where's the ken d'oraisa of that? So says Rav Shachter, he heard from Rav Salveitchik that there's also ken d'oraisa because pasuk says at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, v'lo yavo'u liros kivalas hakodesh v'mesu, that part of the kavod of the klei hamikdash is that you're not supposed to be staring at them all the time. You're not supposed to have constant access to them. Part of an appreciation of Kedusha is distance. Meaning if you're constantly on top of something, it means you're not appreciating its Kedusha. There has to be a certain distance, a certain awe of something. And that is a din d'oraisa. ooh, so if I'm going to appreciate the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, the Rabbanu will come along and say, don't touch it directly. A little distance from a Sefer Torah. There has to be a certain respect of Kedusha that demands a little distance. Very interestingly, Rosh Hashanah quotes a Chuvas Minchas Elazar, the Mooncatcher, Chel Gimel Sim Mem Dalid, that there's a sheet in Yerushalmi that if a person goes out of his way to avoid an Avodah Zarah, to get far away from an Avodah Zarah, there's a sheet in Yerushalmi that's actually showing kavod to the Avodah Zarah. How is that showing kavod to the Avodah Zarah? Because sometimes, by creating distance, you're showing a sense of an appreciation of Kedusha. So if you create distance, you create more distance, that shows. So that's why some people have a certain pachad of Talmidei Chacham, that they will wait till Talmid Chacham addresses them before they address the Talmid Chacham. Why? Creating a certain distance. Because a distance shows a certain amount of respect for Kedusha. A fifth example that Rav Shachter brings up, the Gemara Maseches Erevin has in Ein Gimel as a machlokas Rav and Shmuel as far as what's called a makom dira. What defines a place where you live? Is it makom pita or makom lina? Is it the place where you eat or the place where you sleep? Nafkamina is going to be establishing Tchum Shabbos, Eruve Chatzeros, right? So it's important to know in Hilchas Erevin what your makom dira is. Now let's assume Eruve Tchumen is all Drabanan. Even Tchum Yebez Mil is all Drabanan. Where's the Dinda Oraisa? Makom Pita, Makom Lina. Where's the Dinda Oraisa that we're patterning this whole discussion after? In terms of what is Koveya Adira? Who cares about what's Koveya you, your Dira, as far as Dinda Oraisa are concerned? So Shachter points out to Tshuva the Abnei Nezer, or Chaim Sim Tav Ayin Tes and Tav Pei, where he quotes Raman or Chaim Tav Resh Men, that if a sukkah is not ra'ui to both eat and sleep in, then you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah in it at all. Let's say a sukkah, the Rama writes, is only ra'ui to eat in, but it's not ra'ui to sleep in. The Rama says, even when you eat there, you're not being mekayem the mitzvah of sukkah. It has to be ra'ui for what? Says Yavnei Nezer, le dira, on a daraisa level. Sukkah has to be a place of dira. Teshvu kein taduru. It has to be a makom dira. And in order to be a makom dira, how do we define a makom dira? The place where you eat and the place where you sleep. So when it came to dinim of Erevin and the Chum needed to figure out what's called a dira, they looked to Hilchas Sukkah. And you have that explains a number of other things. In Sukkah and Dav Dalid, you ever learned Masechah Sukkah, it talks about a sukkah that's 10 tefachim tall, right? 10 tefachim tall enough for a sukkah? That's the minimum size. The Gemara talks about, what about if you have chutzin yordin l'tocha sarat tefachim? There are some branches from the schach that are sticking down within the 10 tefachim. So Abaye wanted to say, as long as it's not too many, as long as it's chamasa meruba mitzilasam, the branches that stick down, that come invade your space, are few and far between, then it's going to be kosher. Rava disagrees, and Rava says, what are you talking about? Hadira sruchihi ve'ein adam dar b'dira srucha. That's no way to live when you have things sticking you in the head because they're sinking within 10 tefachim, no matter how small they are. So Abaye holds that the whole din is about mechitzas. The mechitzos of the sukkah have to reach to the schach of the sukkah, and they have to be 10 tefachim tall. So a few branches is not called the schach of the sukkah, because it's chamasim u'mitzilasim. So you have mechitzos, you have schach, you're good. Whereas Rav is going to say, it's true, there's din of mechitzos, there's din of schach, this is a separate din. Because in addition to all that, a sukkah not only needs mechitzos, and not only needs schach, it needs to be a dira. And if the branches are sticking down, it's not going to be a dira. That's the same yisod of the Avnei Nezer. And that also explains the sheet of Rav Chanan Bar Rabba in Sukkah Beis and Beis, that a sukkah l'mayla me'asrum amma is pasul, that he holds that it's dafka if it's sukkah at Zayin El Zayin Tvachim. But if a sukkah is wider than Zayin El Zayin Tvachim, then it is kosher even if it's more than 20 amos high. Why is Zayin El Zayin Tvachim no good if it's 20 amos high? Because that is a lul shel tarnagolim. That's shaped like a chicken coop where a chicken doesn't get to move, right? So that's what it looks like. Meaning, it's not a Dira. And Dina Sukkah are Tali in Dira. And that's all on a Daraisa level, that Dina Sukkah are Tali in Dira. And therefore, whatever's going to be Kovea Dira on a Daraisa level, meaning where you eat, where you sleep, is also Kovea Dira, the same Dira on a Darabana level. Sixth example, two more examples, then we'll finish. So we're going over time today. Sixth example. In the beginning of Sachs Ervin, there are a whole bunch of different halachos that define what is a bias, what is a chatzar, what is a mavoi, and it all relates to Dinim Drabanan of making Erevin. L'chora, that has to have some basis on a Daraisa level. So Rashak says, sure it does. In the Mishnah in Arachim, Lamed Beis Amad Aleph, it talks about the Hagdara of a city as far as Dinim Daraisa are concerned. And it says, what is a city? A place that, meaning, if you have two people that stick a tent down somewhere, that's a city? No. What makes a city? Shalosh Chatzeros Shal Shnei Batim. You need three chatzeros, and each of them have to have shnei batim in them. So now you need to know what's a chatzer, what's a bayis. Meaning all of that is for dinim d'oraisa as well. And then the final example is an interesting one. He points to a Gilyon Marsha. Who wrote the Gilyon Marsha? I'll give you a hint. Not the Marsha, right? Gilyon Marsha in the back of your Gemara is, what's his name? You all got Gemaras here. You can look. It says. Oh, what? Rav Shmuel Idlis. Now, the Gilyon Marsha is Rav Shlomo Eger. Okay, so different, same acronym, but, it can be confusing. But anyway, so the Gilyon Marsha on the side of the page in Yardea, Sof Simon Shin Samach Beis, Paskin's based on a Ber Hetev, that if you're going to bury a regular Jew near a Meshumad, someone who was nobody of a Dezara, you have to be marchik 8 amos. You have to have an 8 amah distance between the two kvaros. Because there's something called tfisas hakever, that the 4 amos around the kever is considered to be like an extension of the kever. So you have to be marchik them. So says Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe Yardei Chelgal of Simon Kuf Samach, and the Sri Dei Eshchel Gimel Simon Kuf, that the same is true when it comes to burying a Jew next to a non-Jew. You have to be marchik. How far does the Jew have to be from the non-Jew? 8 amos. Because tfisas hakever is 4 amos. You don't want even their tfisas hakever to overlap. So Rav Shachter writes that he saw a tshuva from one of the chachamim of our generation. He does not identify who it is. I'm sure he would tell me if I ask him, but I never asked him. That says that this whole din of dalet amos, Lutuma, is only a din d'rabanan. Why would they make such a din that the 4 amos around the kever are also tameh? What do you think they were concerned about? Right? Why would you tell a Kohen, don't get within 4 amos of the kever? Very logical. What? Yeah, he might get too close, and it'll be my heel over it, right? He might get too close and lean over the kever, so we make a 4 amah distance. So says this Chacham, who wrote this tshuva, Mikra din meisei akum, non-Jewish dead bodies are not mitamei ba'ohel, and therefore what? They also shouldn't have a din of dalet amos around the kever. So meila, how far should a Jew be from a non-Jew when you bury them? It shouldn't have to be 8 amos, it should be 4 amos. That's what this guy said. Says Rav Shechter, Va'ani nifhalti v'nishtomamti. He says, I couldn't believe it. I don't know, I've seen more shocking things in my life. He says, I couldn't believe that someone would say such a thing. He says, this is completely incorrect. Why? He says, whenever the Rabban make a din, where did they get this 4 amos from? Let's say it's a din d'rabbanan, tumas, right? It's a din d'rabbanan, the 4 amos around the kever. But they made it up out of thin air that there's a din of dalet amos? The d'rabbanan don't get to make things up. There has to be something d'oraisa about the 4 amos around the kever. And if that something d'oraisa applies to goyim as well, then this din d'rabbanan will also apply to goyim. What's d'oraisa about the 4 amos around the kever? Min haTorah, even a Mace Yisrael is not Matami the Dalet Amos around it, right? Let alone a Mace Akum. So Shachter points out that Kol Tikun Rabban Ken Daraisa, when the Chamra Mesakin Dalet Amos around the Kever, it's based on the following Din Daraisa, that all of the Dalet Amos are considered Tfisas HaKever. Where else on a Daraisa level does Tfisas HaKever come up? Sanhedrin Meneim Beis. Achas Evin Sheniskalba, Vachas Eitz Shenitla Alav, Ve'echot Saiv Shenaragbo, Kula nikbarin ima. After Beis Din executes somebody, they take the kalim that they used for the execution and bury it with the guy. Asks the Gemara, Vatanya ein nikbarin imo. But isn't there a brisa that says that they do not bury it with the guy? Amrav Papa, my imo? Imo bitfisaso. What does it mean they bury it with the guy? Not mamish with him in the coffin. No, what does it mean? Bitfisaso. What's tfisaso? The surrounding area, Dal Ramas. That's a din d'oraisa. So you see, there is such a din of tfisas hakever on a d'oraisa level. So even though it's true that the chum may not have been gozer Dal Ramos of tuma around the goy's kever, but the idea that there is a tfisas hakever is a din d'oraisa, and that would apply to a goy's kever as well. And therefore, if you want to avoid an overlap of tfisas hakever between Jew and non-Jew, you need to separate them by 8 amos and not 4 amos. But this is part of that very broad principle of Chalitzik and Rabban and Ken Daraisa Tikkun. Okay.